each of them created groups of Shishas, disciples. And in that way, for 1,000 years, his movement has been strong. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, particularly because they were threatened by Muslims, he said, well, if you can't gather together, let 5 or 10 of you sit down by your houses and chant the holy names. So form small groups in the villages where you are. 6 Goswamis, they were a group. Each of them then created more groups, and together it added up to the first ever. Well, there was 2 Hare Krishna movements actually at the time. One was the Vishva Vaishnav Raj Sabha, which was in Vrindavan, and the other Hare Krishna movement was. You could say that actually. Yeah, well, I was thinking of Bengal and the east of India, which was Lord Nityananda and his cowherd boys, as they were called, the Mahants, 64 cowherd boys. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he created his groups by traveling to different towns for the service of being a judge, being a magistrate. And he created 500. By day, he would do his magistrate's business, and in the evening, he would do bhajans and preaching. And some of these groups still exist. Some of those groups, his son went to some of those places, and some of the families then came forward with brahmacharis, and the branches, the 64 branches of the Gaudiya Math were created out of the groups that his father had created. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we talked about the 4 layers of administration to care for thousands of disciples. Now, when I got my letter of initiation, it said, I accept such and such as my disciple. You show him what to do. You make sure he follows the rules and regulations. So Prabhupada was instructing the temple president to be the intermediary between me and my spiritual master. We live in different times. 96% of people do not live in temples. And therefore, who's going to be the intermediary between that person and their spiritual master? So the disciple thinks, no intermediaries, you see. But when the spiritual master has 700, 800, 900 disciples with no intermediaries, then we have a relationship problem, because spiritual as he may be, it is very difficult for a person to have a relationship, a meaningful relationship, with persons that he sees only rarely. And so the Krishna consciousness movement has a couple of layers missing. And what happens is that devotees all around the world say, oh, I just don't feel so inspired. Oh, I don't think the movement's really, you know, it's not really doing very much right now. So it's a perception that comes from a person who has a weakened spiritual life by not really having a person to care for them. When Prabhupada was asked how many families in a Vedic village, he said 15. The average, you know, people speak about, they say, well, you know, ISKCON in the good old days. In the good old days, it was like a family. Why was ISKCON like a family in the good old days? Because the average number of people in a devotee community was 15 to 20. 1975, all over the world, according to the Book Distributed Sankirtan newsletter, we, out of the, I forget how many centers we had, but all of them would write in, and the average size center was 15. A Maha temple was like 30, 40, and you just had a few. You had Bombay, Bhaktivedanta Manor, Chicago, LA, New York. That was it. A few big ones. But most of them, they were small. They were just a house in the suburbs, or a townhouse in the middle of the city. Brahmacharis, Brahmacharinis living there. That was the model. And people say, in those days, ISKCON really felt like a family. Now, maybe they're like, you know, puppies. They're not quite sure who's supposed to be, you know, it's all very well when people are enthusiastic, but when they had problems, as we all do, who's meant to look after me? So then you add all those up together, all the thousands of devotees who have difficulty in their spiritual life, and then what you've got is either a weakened movement or you've got a rebellion going on. And the poor old GBC get the blame. You know, how many times you go on a website and someone's going, as the GBC, they should be, you know, it's not like it, you're the GBC, Prabhupada. You see, people want to blame others. But really, it's not the movement that, in one sense, Prabhupada created, but it's successful because we've got bigger. But we need a structural analysis, which is ongoing, and my belief is that the congregational structure, and all it means is that somebody looks after you, and you look after somebody, and that somebody looks after someone else, and we're all looking after people, then we'll all get the job done. Next. This kind of shows the impossible ratio at Bhaktivedanta Manor. You know, we had to do something about it. The blue is 1,200 people coming on a Sunday. Now, that's good in some ways. If you had 1,200 people coming to Radha Desh on a Sunday, it'd be nice, wouldn't it? But when you have just, you know, a few teachers, it's impossible. So these are active members who don't function as teachers. And these guys had to tell these guys, look, you look after these people. Oh, but I can't. No, you do it. Well, I mean, I'm not senior like you. No, but we can't do it because there's something. So you look after them, and we will look after you. Next one. That's how nature does it, folks. In a cell, everything's got its place, and it works in harmony with everything else. There is a structure. And when everything's connected to the thing that it should be connected to, that's life. Okay. Next one. Okay, here's the interesting part. A great hero of mine, he wasn't a Catholic, David, I'm sorry. He was John Wesley, and he lived from 1703 to 1791. He preached for 60 years. And his message found great reception in the people of England, and they all created groups. And at the end of his life, what happened? Next. He had hundreds of preachers and 80,000 members of his movement. However, at exactly the same time as him, there was another preacher called George Whitfield, who was just preaching but not organizing people into a systematic structure. What happened to him? Here he is, George Whitfield. He was actually a better preacher. Grown men would cry when this man opened his mouth to speak. He would tell them about the fact that they didn't have a spiritual life and that hell was waiting for them unless they got themselves right with God. And grown men would just burst into tears and roll on the ground. Was so convinced. Go back. But he said, because I did not fashion my followers into groups, as did Wesley, when I called upon them to act, it was like pulling on a rope made of sand. In other words, I preached, I converted them, they became Christians, but they didn't help each other with their spiritual life. And then when it came time for, there was no movement. There was nothing there. It was no, people were all individuals. Next one. So in the middle, here's the mother. And D means daughter. There's a mother-daughter system. So what we're doing as preachers, each of us is not only creating 100 families, but we're joining those families together in maybe, you know, 5 groups of 20 if they live in an area, or, you know, 10 groups of 10. Next one. And then the daughters, they go on to create granddaughters. You see? The idea is that you most enthusiastic preachers from the daughters group go on to create granddaughter groups. And that's how something multiplies. Next. And here it is. Here it is, multiplying. What happened? I wanted you to relish movement. Here's movement at the cellular level. It's actually taking place right before your very eyes. The cell is, you know, jumping for joy. There is life. All the different bits of the cell are moving together. And that's what happens. Like it's moving out and it's actually, you know, growing. There's growth. So things need to be connected together. There needs to be vitality through the system. It needs to be joined up. And then you can create a movement. And one of these things splits in a few minutes, 15 minutes, I think it is. Every 15 minutes, every 15, 20 minutes, one of these cells will become two cells. Another 20 seconds. I just thought this was clever because it moves. It's only a little thing. My pride and joy. Next, please. What happens if you don't do it? What happens if you don't create groups for friendship and support? Okay, let's read them off. Ram, first one.
Spiritual life of members is hard to sustain.
Yeah, you can't sustain spiritual life. David.
Members feel not a part of me.
Yeah.
Communication is ineffective.
Yeah, how are you going to reach all those people? Okay, you've got your Facebook, you know, Facebook friends.
You're my friend on Facebook.
What does that mean? I mean, you know, how deep can you go with a Facebook friendship? Not really deep, can you? Eventually, you've got to meet the person and you've got to talk with them. Next one, Manoj.
Organization is chaotic.
Yeah, organization. Nobody knows who's supposed to be doing what.
Susceptible to drifting away.
Yeah, we got competition out there now. We got the Ryan Marriage out there, we got the Rick Vicks out there, we got in England we have 8 different groups, including a Bengali Sahaja group from Radharaman Charan Das Babaji, which we believe a contemporary of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I mean, of all places, it's just England getting its, you know, we're getting everything. We give to India, it's all coming back on us. We have English people now who are crying in Kirtan. Okay? They've never been a part of ISKCON. They just found this group crying in ISKCON. Not crying in ISKCON. but crying in Kirtan. They're rolling on the floor. You know, all this sort of thing. Strange phenomenon. So it's competition. If you don't want to look after them, then someone else is going to look after them. That's why if you're a Catholic or if you're a Methodist, you know who you belong to. You know who you go to confess to, the local priest. You're part of a diocese, right? Which is part of a bishop's supervisory place, which is part of a country. Okay. So, I mean, everything is, you know, have to belong to an individual in the sense that someone's actually looking after you, or you can have more than one. But geographically, you should be situated somewhere. Now, I'll show you what we've got. I'll show you in a minute anyway how it works in England. Just then multiply this drifting by however many relationships that are broken down. What happens? The entire movement. And then
growth is
slowed down. You just stop growing. Okay, next one. So we said this is what we wanted. We want a clear path forward. We want mentors, counselors, shikshagurus, call them what you like, to offer guidance. In Bombay, they call them counselors. In London, they call them mentors. In London, they have 130 devotees, congregational devotees, being mentored by 30 mentors. At Bhaktivedanta Manor, we have 170 devotees, congregational devotees, being mentored by about 28 mentors. And it is a struggle. It is a struggle. Because sometimes the relationships break down and they want to change, and this one was that one, you know, all sorts of things. But still, the structure is there. And we want better, more local ways that new members can be involved. So there has to be somewhere to go locally. You see, because once people get into Krishna consciousness, they don't all come to Radhadesh. Have you noticed? You know? Because why? People are lazy. And they want spiritual life to be delivered to them. If you look at how many branches other religious organizations have in Belgium and Holland, you'll find that most people have got something in every major city. Whereas if you look at ISKCON, you just find that we hang out together, because association is such a big principle. But an even bigger principle than hanging out with each other for spiritual strength is to actually get on your bike, you know, in Holland, and or get in your canal boat, and go somewhere else. And if you do that, you actually find that Krishna gives you the strength anyway. So, you know, we have a problem in that one of the things is that we have two temples in London and everybody wants to live in London now. But why wouldn't you? There's festivals and there's deities and there's Mahaprasadam and there's devotees to associate with, and why would you go anywhere else? But the point is that while Prabhupada was with us, he was saying, no, you go here and you go there and you go there. You start a center. Come on. And then you make your association where you go. Then when you come back together for festivals, then it's wonderful. So we wrote down the vision, and what we're going into now is, this is what we wanted, so this is how we said that we were going to do it. So we thought of 8 areas that we needed to do to make it a reality, and then got different devotees to help in each of those areas. Okay, so here's my beautiful country. I feel the tears coming to my eyes already. So ISKCON is comprised of a network of spiritually strong and productive groups in each city of the south of England. Now I must say, that is a vision. Okay, and you always state the vision as if that's going to happen. Actually, what it is, we have 40 groups. We have 40 groups that are strong, but we want more. We want a group in every town. Next one. And we want one group in each of the London boroughs. This just shows you the, little bit like South Africa, the density of the Hindu population in London. And it won't surprise you that most of our supporters at Bhaktivedanta Manor come from here, here, and here. Okay. And right in the middle here, that's where the new Hare Krishna school is being built, which looks something like... Krishna Avanti School. And the reason I'm showing you is to show you what can be done with community support. That's what it looks like. It's half built now. That's the plans for it. With congregational power. Yeah, pass it around. We have, the government has provided 11 million euros. And we had to contribute 2 million euros. But with congregation power, it is possible. So what we wanted was we wanted to nourish people's spiritual life, because we don't want just Krishna consciousness to be Hinduism. We want everybody to have a bead bag. Now, they know Krishna, but they may not know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so we want to, you know, give that more. Okay, so then next one. Alright, so our mission is to facilitate the spiritual aspirations of our movement's newcomers and committed members so that each has access to locally delivered systematic education in the philosophy, practice, culture, and history of Krishna consciousness. Next one. Okay, next point, personal, encouraging relationship with a qualified and caring Vaishnava. Who wouldn't want that, eh? Who wouldn't want that? Next. Fellowship, support. Committed and productive devotees, not lazy devotees, not ignorant devotees, but knowledgeable, committed, productive, yeah. So then we said, the ISKCON lotus of activities, and unfortunately, we're going to have to do that. job there, isn't it? Isn't it? All right. Thank you very much. We'll go on to that this afternoon. Hare Krishna. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Maria.